The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
I'm going to try that one more time. Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
I'm so glad to see your beautiful faces and also the awesome pajamas and Bob, who's in the front row. If you don't know who he is, he's the blue gnome that's up here. He joined us this morning, so Bob, welcome. How was your Christmas so far? Good, bad, ugly? Yeah, interesting. Mine started at midnight and kind of went from there. I tried to get to sleep about 2 o'clock this morning, and it was nice and fun. But you know, everybody's Christmas is different. We haven't actually done our Christmas yet, and we have I think like a lot of families, a lot of different things we're going to be doing. So we actually have our first Christmas today, and then we have our second Christmas a couple days from now. I have to cook for that in our family. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, so we got to get everybody together from all around the nation at this point to get in one house, and hopefully nobody gets sick, even though it happens every year, and we have a lot of fun. But Christmas is always interesting because what happens every year, especially in this household, is inevitably somebody has forgotten something. And so if you did Christmas today, then you probably have figured out what you've forgotten. Or if you haven't, then you're going to figure out what you did forget. Whether it be food, whether it be a list. My mother-in-law has already been hitting us up for the list of things we need for Christmas dinner so she can shop. I'm sure she's using online shopping to the best of her abilities. And then we always, at the last minute, the day before, make a run to the Hy-Vee. It's a local Hy-Vee. And we get everything else that was missed that we didn't think about. And then we always try to like Amazon Prime some things in because eventually we forget somebody. There's so many people we've added to the family, even since I've joined, that it's just constantly adding things. But it kind of reminds me of a lot of different things. But it reminds me that our entire country shuts down today. Our entire country shuts down today, outside of Chinese restaurants. Like our entire country is. You ever notice that? Right? They're the only ones open. But outside of that, everybody is shut down. I went to Casey's last night to go fill up with gas. They're shut down. I went to the break time across the street, and they had the open sign on, but they were shut down. Like, I needed gas because we got to get on the road. But everywhere you go, it is shut down. And it's so interesting because I ask myself every year, what's the big deal? For people who don't go to church, for people who don't love Jesus, for people who don't celebrate Christ in any way, what's the big deal? How does this baby that we just got done singing about, that permeates everything we do, born 2,000 years ago, stop traffic today? Get families to fly across the country, to get people to fuss. I don't know if you've looked on social media, but the number of people that are stuck in airports up north that are fussing and crying and getting every kind of rental car they can to get to where they, like, we do everything to get to families on this day. And it's interesting because I would present to you that this is no ordinary baby. Right? Like, this is no ordinary baby. The Bible says that 2,000 years ago, God came to earth. That's what we get to celebrate today. That God came to earth, and he descended the stairs of heaven and came to earth, and he placed his son in a manger in a cave in Bethlehem. I love that. I love the idea that God did that. For all ways that God could enter this earth. Right, through fire, through smoke. If you read the Old Testament, you know he comes in so many different ways. He comes on spirit, on people. He does so many different ways, but then he comes as a baby. A baby. Nobody's afraid of a baby. You're not scared of a baby. I mean, well, unless you're like a 20-year-old boy. They tend to be scared of babies because they've never held one before. I remember the first time when my daughter was first born. I was leading college ministry in Kansas City, and all the guys in there had never held a child before. And so I set them down, I put them in a chair, and I said, "Here is my baby girl." And I held them, and I let them know before they held her, "If you drop her, I'll kill you. So you hold on to her tight." And to watch these 20 guys, I mean, they're, you know, swole, but they're doing all kinds of convoluted ways to try to hold her. I'm like, just support her neck, dude. But they just had no idea. Like, that's the only people that I know that are scared to hold a baby. Outside of that, none of us are scared of a baby. Usually we say weird things like, "I'd eat you up." Like, that's weird, right? But when we see a child, we love them. Yet, Jesus left the confines of heaven. Parents, think about the first time you let your child sleep over somewhere else, go to camp somewhere else. You watch them as they leave. You stare at the window. Maybe I'm just weird like that. I just kind of go, "My goodness, what's going to happen to them?" I have no control at this point. They're gone. I can't do anything. And I think of the perfect relationship between God the Father and God the Son. and how God the Son came down to earth, leaving that perfect communion that they'd had from eternity past to eternity present. And imagine the scene as Jesus prepared to leave heaven. Imagine how the angels watched him. I just, these are things I think about, like, what would it look like? Imagine the heart of God that he sent his Son to die among us on a day like today. The Bible says that God came to earth. In the bigger news, that's bigger news than anything. Bigger news than Elon Musk buying Twitter. That's bigger news than us landing on the moon. That's bigger news than us trying to go to Mars. It's bigger than all that. God himself invaded the earth. He split history into AD and BC. He split history in half. Like every time you write a check, if you still write a check, I don't know if you still do that or not, but your reference point is Jesus Christ. Every single time you give the date and give the year, in a week, we're going to go 2023. It will be 2023, which for some of us who watch the Jetsons, that's really weird, right? But when we say 2023, the reference point is based off of Christ. 2,000 years from what? His birth. So what difference does Christmas make today? Christmas means that God brought us five gifts for you that I want you to unwrap today. Five gifts. That's all I'm going to give you. I'll get out of your way. But five gifts. The number one gift he gives you is he brings a message for your heart. He brings a message for your heart. Have you ever heard someone get the silent treatment? I had a friend when I was younger. His dad and mom got a divorce, and he didn't talk to his dad for a full year. Literally, I was in the house, and every time he saw his dad, he'd write a note and leave it in this passive-aggressive way on the counter. He wouldn't talk to him for the whole year. And it was kind of crazy. It was kind of disturbing, to be very honest, because I came from a house that could never happen. You don't expect people to have to talk to you. But if you've ever met a famous person, it's interesting because I'm always surprised at how normal they are. When you talk to them, you're like, oh, you're just a regular person. I mean, even though I see you on TV, you do everything I do. But when John introduces Jesus in John chapter 1, he uses this very interesting word here. The word he uses is logos or logos, depending on how you want to say it, which literally means the word. Everybody say the word. Say it one more time. Say the word. This term is borrowed from the Old Testament to describe Jesus as the divine revealer. It comes with a message. He comes with a message. The word logos is more than just spoken communication. It's referring to a meaning that is conveyed not just with sound, but he's also the expression of God. He's the expression of who God is to human beings. He's the divine revelation. Hebrews 1:1 says, long ago God spoke many times in many ways, but in our ancestors through the prophets. But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. He's the Logos, the Logos. God has spoken to humans in many different ways. I love the way he's spoken to us, right? He's used visions. He's appeared in dreams. He's appeared to Moses and Abraham personally, which is kind of cool. He's revealed himself through the scriptures. But the culmination, the way that God reveals himself to us is through a message. And that message is Jesus. It's the clearest communication that we've ever had of who God is and what he has to say to you and I. So if you want to know God, just look at Jesus. If you want to know God's message to us, look at what he had to say to us. Look at what he said to you and I. It's so clear that this past week, I was talking to this little girl not too long ago, and she said, I know what Jesus looks like, but I don't know what God looks like. And I said, well, if you know what Jesus looks like, then you know what God, you know what God looks like. Because Jesus is the revelation of who God is. He is God in the flesh. But it gets even clearer than that. John 1, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. John 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 because he explains this really, really clear. He says this. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him and without him, and not anything that was made. Not only was Jesus the message of God, he was the message from God, but he also is the creator of all things. He's the creator of all things. There are 500 billion stars, give or take, according to scientists. I'm not sure what poor sap had to sit around and count all that, but 500 billion is what they say. Stars in our neighborhood of the Milky Way Galaxy. There are 200 billion galaxies around the universe, apparently, according to scientists. They have a lot of time on their hands, right? And he spoke all that into existence. All of that into existence. Jesus said, God in Genesis 1 and 3 said, let there be light. There was light. Billions of stars right then. Right then. And when God speaks, he speaks with power. Think about it. God created billions of stars, but he also became a microscopic cell in a woman's womb and grew into a child. Both can simultaneously be true, which is a beautiful thing. He entered the world as a baby on a smelly table. That's where he started off. Some researchers don't even think it was a wooden table. But what's a beautiful thing about this is that Christ in himself came to this earth for you and I. I want you to hear today that he brings a message for your heart. He brings a message for your heart, a gift for you. He communicated to all types of people, and that includes you and I. Still to this day, he communicates to you. And he brings a message to your heart. John 1 and 14, it says this. I want you to hear it. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Then in verse 16, it says, "From the fullness we have received grace upon grace, for the law is given through Moses, the grace and truth that came through Jesus Christ." God has a message for your heart. That's why he came. He has a message for your heart. And he sent his Son to reveal himself to you. To you. This morning and every morning. He came to bring you unfailing love. He came to give you everlasting life. He came because that's the difference that Christmas makes in your life. Another difference I think Christmas makes, number two, is this. He brings power to your life. He brings power to your life. Now, I was talking to somebody the other day that has lost all power to their house. Their pipes froze, and then their electric line froze, and it fell off their house. It literally just fell off their house, which I was like, that's horrific, right? But when you talk about it, power is something that we all need in our life. In some way, shape, or form, we need it. And in the Jews of John days would have recognized this logos, so this logos in their life. It was a Jewish concept, but also it was a Greek concept. When whoever reads John's book would have had a completely different meaning than what we understand today. Because for the Greeks, logos was different. In the 6th century, this Greek philosopher used the word logos to describe the design and order he saw in all the universe. He wanted to find a stabilizing influence. He said, there's a logos, a word that stabilizes all of it. It governs all of it. And it's interesting that John uses that word to describe who Christ is. That's who he describes this baby as, that splits history. You see, without Christ, your life doesn't make sense. I know some of you guys are like, no, my life, no. Listen, without Christ, your life doesn't make sense. You're just a fizzing, bumbling bunch of cells bumping into other cells, and we kind of hope it all works out. Christ holds it all together. The Apostle Paul began with Christ, the Logos. He began with that, in whom order and purpose is found. That's why we as Christ followers live, is because we find order and purpose in him. Without Christ, that great news that we have falls apart. The Logos came into the world, this chaotic spiritual darkness, and became the very sustainer of the world. Colossians tells us this. It says, Christ is through whom God created everything, heaven and on heaven and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, kings and kingdoms, rulers and authorities. Everything has been created through him and for him. Verse 17 says, he existed before everything else began. He holds all of creation together. Christ holds all of creation together. Jesus created everything from nothing. And he has the power to hold the universe together. He has the power to hold your life together. When your life feels like it's falling apart, he has the ability to hold it together. It's funny because we're right now, if you guys are following the news, we're trying to send probes back to Mars and back to the moon, which is great. But here's the thing. When you send a probe up to Mars or you send it up to the moon and something goes wrong with it, we've just lost billions of dollars, which I don't know about you as a taxpayer. That really freaks me out. That we just have things we send up and like, oh, but it doesn't work. You know, like I don't like that concept that there are billions of dollars just going up in the air and all right. Or if we send something to, we send people to the moon, we hope everything goes right. Some of us were scarred after the Challenger tragedy, so we want everything to go right, and I get it. We can send a repair technician to go a little bit. My neighbor's furnace went out, so he had a repair tech come over, try to fix his thing. But if he didn't have power, you can't hold it all together, but Jesus holds your life together. He's the one that you go to when things are broken. He's the one that you go to when things are not working. He's the one when things feel completely out of reach that you go back to and go, listen, I've spent money, I've spent time, I've spent all this stuff. I have nothing. Jesus, can you bring this back together? He says, I have the power to do that. When I was a kid, I had a big brother that I looked up to. He's 3 years older than me. And a lot of times I had a mouth on me. I know that's a surprise. And I would sometimes let my mouth write checks my body couldn't cash. And so I'd be around his friends and I would say all kinds of stuff, wild stuff, knowing that I had a big brother that could take care of me. Until one day we were on the football field and we're playing around with everybody and I wrote some checks that my body couldn't cash and my brother didn't step in for me. He just let me get my butt whooped. I got whooped bad. I got thrown all over the place. Every single time I did a drill, they took me out. Every single time it was a tackling drill, I was the dummy. Every single time. And he let me know. He let me know in that time, even though he had the power to get me out of the mess he's in, he figured out he wasn't going to rescue me from a problem that I created on my own. He said, you got to learn your lesson sooner or later because I'm not going to be here to clean up all your messes. And he wasn't. The next year he graduated and I was there by myself. I had to learn. You see, the God we serve isn't like that. That's the thing I love about the God we serve. He's not like that. You see, God has power. And if he told us that you're on your own, that'd be one thing. But he says, no. The creator of the universe came to earth to be alongside you, to be with you, to walk with you. And sometimes, even in the mess that you've created, to carry you through it. Even in the messes that you've created, he's going to walk you through. He's going to put you on his back and carry you all the way through it. He loves you that much. He has the power to do it. Now, does it mean that we go out and create messes? No. Because that's what some people, I'm going to go out and act a fool. No. Back it up. No, that's not it. No, the God of the universe says, hey, I want you to walk with me. I want you to walk with me, but when you need it the most, I'll carry you through it. So what difference does Christmas make? All around the world because of the power that God has in your life, no matter what we face. But the number third thing you can write is this. God brings the light in our darkness. God brings light in your darkness. He brings so much light. I think that I hate about this time of year is that daylight savings times hit and it turns dark like 4 o'clock. You know, all of a sudden like 4 o'clock is just pitch black. You're like, what happened? What? Right? The night is just long. Even I get up in the morning, my day starts about 4 a.m. It's still pitch black way too late. I'm trying to get the kids going. I get home at 6:30. It's still dark. It's just not happening. I mean, give me sunlight. Give me sunlight at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I'm a happy man. If it's light, I mean, I'm all about repealing daylight savings time. So, you know, if you want to join me in that. But the four essentials to human life you need to know are light, air, water, and food. Light, air, water, and food. And I just want to show you something. I saw this week. I thought it was kind of cool. Verses 4 and 5. It says this. Verse 4. In him was life, and life was the light of all men. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light is pure. Light is pure. Light is so pure that evil can't stain it or cause any impurity to come on it. Light can pass through poisonous atmosphere. Light won't become tainted. It can enter the dirtiest environment yet not carry any germs whatsoever. Jesus is like that. That's what I love about light. In Hebrews 4 and 15, it says, the high priest understands our weaknesses. He's faced all the same temptations that you and I have faced, yet he did not sin. So when Jesus died after 33 years, with close contact with you and I, of men and women, of sinful people, he walked out clean. Light is pervasive. It hits the golden roof of a palace. It passes through prison bars. It does not discriminate. Light does not discriminate. It's revealing. If you've ever had a dark spot and you put some light on it, it shows everything that's there. You ever looked under your kids' dirty beds and you put some light under there and you go, and turn the light back off because you don't want to see all that, right? But it reveals everything. It reveals. Jesus is the light of the world. It reveals. He reveals you and I. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Nothing. It also reveals God to us. When light is shown on something, you go, that's there. I didn't know that was there. Isaiah 9 and 2 says, the people walk in darkness will see a great light. A light will shine on all who live in the land where death cast its shadow. They're talking about Jesus there. And in a time of great darkness, God sent a light that would shine on everyone. When the shadow of death is over you, God sent a light that will shine. When you are in the middle of your life and you're struggling, God sends a light into your life that will shine and illuminate all the dark places. Are you willing to turn to him? That's the difference today makes. That's the beauty of today, that he opens up and shows you that light. But the number four thing I would tell you is that God brings understanding to your struggles. Let's be honest. There's a lot of people right now that are struggling. There are a lot of people in this world, and Christmas Day is a hard one. There's a lot of people that somebody has passed away in their family, and this is the first Christmas without them. Or maybe you're walking through a time in your life where you just feel defeated. Or maybe you just don't find any victory in anything right now. And God says, I got you. Let me bring some understanding to your struggle. Verse 10 in John chapter 1. I want to keep going to what he says. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. I love that. Verse 11, he keeps going. He came into his own people, but his own people did not receive him. One of the most disturbing thoughts of all ages in this is that the world God created didn't know him or receive him. Think about that. The world that God created didn't know him or receive him. His own people, his own family, his own people, his own blood. There's this old adage I've heard that says, relatives are the worst friends, said the fox as the hounds took him over. Matter of fact, this is just something, you know, scientists have done a study. I don't know why they do these studies, but they did a study, and they said that the best amount of time to stay with relatives over the holidays is 4 days. On the fifth day, you've overstayed your welcome. So it's 4 days. So if you have planned your stuff out, look, at day four, just go ahead and pack their stuff up and start moving them out. Because day five and on, that's when the fighting starts happening, according to scientists. This is an actual study that was put out. But I've heard of everything when it comes to families. I've heard of restraining orders, injunctions against each other. I've heard of families falling apart in different ways, staying away from each other. I'm saying, I got to have a distance from you. But at least they knew each other. Imagine the God, the creator of the universe, coming down to earth, and they don't even know who he is. Imagine what it would have been like for Jesus throughout eternity to have lived in heaven. And I don't know what you think about heaven. You might think of like fluffy clouds and harps, but think of perfection. Perfection. Everything is what it should be. Jesus had lived in perfect community with the Father and the Spirit from all eternity past to present. And he had known the deepest relationship that will ever exist. And then he came to earth as a baby to a brand new family. And all he experienced for 33 years was rejection. We don't know who you are. We don't receive you as God. We don't receive you as King. And when they did receive him, it was on their terms to get their things and their personal motives. And when that didn't happen, they rejected him immediately. It's amazing to me that he still did that because he became one of us and loved us in that way. The God of the universe brings understanding to your struggles because in the midst of your struggle, he walks with you. I love seeing famous people do random personal things. I saw a famous person one time try to go to the grocery store and buy groceries, and they looked very confused because generally they have a personal assistant that does it for them, but that person, I guess, was out of town, which is, you know, first world problems. And so he's struggling just to buy groceries. I love seeing that kind of thing. And not to see the struggle, but just you just realize that your life and their life are completely different. You realize that we're just not the same. And for thousands of years, people could have told God, you don't know what it's like down here. You don't know what it's like. You've lived in perfection. I am roughing it down here. You see these people? It is ratchet around me. I don't like this. You've never experienced what I've experienced. And honestly, they'd have been right until 2,000 years ago. Until 2,000 years ago when God himself became one of us, shrunk into size, became a baby and walked among us. He understands our weaknesses. There's nothing that you have experienced that Jesus hasn't experienced. There's nothing that you haven't done that Jesus hasn't been tempted with. There's no temptation you haven't faced that he hasn't been tempted with. That should be a comfort to you. That in the midst of your struggles, he knows what it's like. He lived with us. He experienced it. He understands your struggles from experience. And he walks and carries you through this holiday. The last thing is this. He brings you a gift. I mean, it is Christmas, so he should bring you a gift, right? And matter of fact, the wise men, no matter when you think they came, brought him gifts. So he got gifts, but everybody gets a gift today. Here's the gift he gives you. Verse 12 and 13, I don't just want to tell you about it. I want to read it. It says, but to all who did receive him, that should be you and I, but we'll talk about that in a second. For all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. If you welcome Jesus into your life, you receive a free gift. That gift's called eternal life. That's the gift. It is wrapped up better than any wrapping, which, by the way, I'm horrible at wrapping things. Horrible. My stuff is mashed together and taped. You're lucky to get it open. Like, it's one of those things. But the way that God does it, it's perfect, right? Most of us have heard of orphans or people who are in foster care, and sometimes they're abused and exploited. And what better gift to give an exploited orphan than the gift of adoption to a good family? What better gift to give somebody who's been hurt and maimed by the world, a better gift to be brought into another family? And that's what he says. He says, I understand you've been struggling. I understand you've gone through stuff. I understand this world's hard. I understand all of that. I'm willing to bring you into my family. Because ever since even evil entered the human race, we've been exploited. You and I have been exploited by the devil. Jesus calls the devil a murderer, a liar. But he came to set you free. He came to set you free. So at Christmas, as I take my seat, it's Christmas. We're amazed at the miracle of God becoming man. We are amazed at that miracle, and we know that all of history is set based off of that, but we shouldn't stop there. We need to ask why he came. We need to ask why he came, because he came to give eternal life to all who believe. That's what he came for. He suffered a fatal contamination caused by evil. Because you know that you and I need new life. That's what he suffered for. And I know so many of us kind of run up to God and we go, hey, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. And then we realize that we're probably not good enough. So we kind of like pair the list back, kind of like you do with Santa sometimes. You pair the list back and you go back to the few things that you think you need. And God says, I want to give all of that to you. I want to give you all those presents. I want to invite you into my family so you can have something so much more. The gift you receive from Christ is different than any other gift you'll receive today. You'll receive with your family when you do Christmas with them. You'll receive on your birthday. You'll receive for the rest of your life. Because it is a personal gift that comes in a form of a person in Christ Jesus. And it's a practical gift. Because it's just what you need. There will be some things you get today that you'll go, oh, that's great, thanks. And you'll say thank you because you've been taught by your mama and your daddy to say thank you and nod. And if you haven't, the shame on you. We'll work on that. But like you'll know how to do that, and you'll do your wrapping paper. But not everything you get over the next few days is going to be what you need. But the gift that God gives you today, the gift that he offers to you right now, whether you think you need it or not, you do need it. And he offers it to you. It's a priceless gift. It cost Christ his life to give you this. God the Son gave it to you. He says it's priceless. And when you receive a gift that's that expensive, you realize that somebody really values you. God tells you, you are valuable to him. So valuable, he came and died for you. That's how priceless you are to him. There's only a couple people on this earth that you're priceless to. Maybe your mom, maybe your dad, maybe grandma, grandpa. That might be it. But God says, I came and died for you. That's how priceless you are to me. And not only that, it's a permanent gift. It's a permanent gift. Once you get this gift, you can't break it. You can't lose it. You can't throw it away. You can't do nothing about it. It's like a bad rash. You can't get rid of it. It's just there. And it's a beautiful thing. It's permanent. Because so many of us, what we'll do is we'll get the gift and we'll go, oh, we'll leave it over here and go back to where we were, back into what we know, which is exploitation and sin. And God says, this gift is here waiting for you. Come get it. Come get it. Come sit at my feet and open this gift again. Matter of fact, I'll rewrap it for you so you can experience the joy of opening this gift again and having it again. It doesn't mean you get resaved. No. You just get to experience what it means to open that gift again. And so I got a couple questions as I take my seat. It's this. Have you received this gift? Like, out of all the presents you'll get, have you received that gift? There's a man in the States, here in the U.S., that hasn't opened a Christmas gift in 49 years. 49 years, which is a little strange. If I gave you a gift and you never opened it, I'd wonder about you. If I handed you a gift, says, here's a gift, and you're like, thanks, and dipped, and then like 50 years later, you're like, there's that gift. I wonder, are you okay? What happened? Did I anger you? Like, do we need to fight? Like, I don't know. Something needs to happen here, right? Yet some people celebrate Christmas every year, year after year, and never open the gift that Jesus Christ put at your feet. They never open it. The gift of becoming God's child. You have to open the gift. Sorry, you don't have to. You should open that gift. It's the best gift you'll ever get. It is the best gift you'll ever do. God is saying, I'm not giving you any cheap plastic thrills. I'm not giving you anything that you can throw away. I'm not giving you the box that you'll be more interested in than the gift that's inside. I'm giving you the best gift you'll ever have. I'm giving you something real that will last if you're willing to trust him. Second question is this. How could you receive the gift? You can receive the gift by believing him and receiving him. John 1 and 12. I'm going to read it one more time. It says this. But to all who did receive him, He believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It means believing in what Jesus says about you. Listen, there are a lot of people that have told you all about yourself. There are a lot of people that have given you all kinds of messages about who you are and then who Christ says you are. There are a lot of people that have told you all about yourself. My mama would tell me about myself all the time. But then there's who Christ says you are. And Christ today wants to tell you that you are his child. It means believing what he says about you. It means trading in everything of this world and opening the gift that lasts for eternity. And so as we close, I would just ask, have you opened this gift today? It is the most beautiful gift you'll ever have wrapped up. It's the most beautiful thing that will be ever offered to you. It'll be the most perfect time to do it. Jesus is the light of the world that wants to illuminate your life. And as you go out through the next few days, the next week, and you enjoy your time with family and friends and neighbors, know that this gift is waiting on you. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you would offer us a free gift, that we can be with you right now. And Father God, I just ask that for some of us that maybe have opened that gift in the path of left it off to the side and need to open it once again, that we have that opportunity. Let today be that opportunity to reopen that gift and come back to you. Or maybe, for some of us, we've opened that gift, but we've forgotten what's in it. Let us relook afresh at what's in that box and celebrate you. Jesus, thank you so much that you are the light in our lives, that you offer us grace and mercy, that you carry us through the struggles of our life, that you are a great high priest that understands everything that we've ever been through. We need you, Jesus, and even in this world where it doesn't all make sense, we come to you humbly and ask for your guidance. There may be some in this room right now that need you. And Father, I know that we don't understand all of it, but we believe that you love us. And even the times that we have trouble believing that you love us, we just want to thank you for sending Jesus Christ. We want this gift of Christ to be the best gift we've ever had. And as much as we know how, help us to submit ourselves to him and live our lives that honor you. We thank you and we praise you. In your holy name we pray. All God's saints would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.